Thank you, God. Well, we've talked about, been on the subject of fear, and specifically that perfect love casts out fear, for a couple weeks, and I was thinking, okay, you know, I'm done. I'm going to go on, but it just seemed like, no, we're just going to stay there. So we're going to stay here, and we're going to go, you know, say some different things. I'm not going to repeat everything we've been over, but this is where we're going to be, and, you know, we'll see. We might move on to the next thing next week, but we'll just go with God. We're not in a hurry. There's always next Sunday and next Sunday and next Sunday till we go on, or we go on to be with God. So, you know, don't have an agenda. We want to be led by God. And it's the same thing when, you know, I just, you know, I'm sure you know this, just good to be reminded in your own Bible reading, don't ever get so tightly bound to something that you think you have to get done that you miss God. If He's got you on one scripture, stay there for weeks or months, however, until you've gotten everything that He wants you to get out of it for that time, because you're not going to exhaust that scripture. You come back years later and it's different and you had experiences and wow, it jumps off the page. But at this point, if something jumps out at you, stay. Don't think, oh, I got to read the chapter, got to move on. I've been there, moved on. It's like, no, God was back here. He was speaking to my heart here. Well, I haven't got enough scriptures done. What? Who cares? You know, the way I do it, just the way I do it, not the way anybody else has to do it. I have bookmarks in all these different places in the Bible, you know, Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, Acts, whatever, and I read through those different parts, but I just mark where I am. You don't have to get through the next thing. If you get through one verse, then you know you're in that verse. Stay there. Just get what God has for us. And that's the way we are. You know, we don't have an agenda. Yeah, we don't have an agenda here. It's to build us up and get what God has for us today. And if we're going to stay here on this subject, then that must mean there's something that we need in that direction. So that's where we're going today. So let's go back to the verse that we started with, 1 John 4:17. We've started with the last couple weeks. First John 4:17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Look at the last part of verse 18. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You realize how many different things the world will tell you why you're fearing. You know, they want to get to the root. Get back to what happened. What happened as a child? Where did this fear come from? The Bible tells us exactly why you have fear. There may be a trigger point. But why do we have fear? It's because we have not been made perfect in love. Period. Because if we've been made perfect in love, if we know the love of God, know how much He loves us, the security. See, security comes from that. Fear, what is fear? It's when you're uncertain, you're afraid of something happening. But if you're secure in any given area, you don't fear. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, if there was somebody that could attack you, you felt like there was a burglary could happen, and you know, some woman, her husband's out of town, so she's afraid that something could happen. That's a fear. But if she was in a castle, surrounded by guards, in how many layers of armor, from the top, the bottom, everywhere, it's impenetrable, that fear is gone. It's not even a possibility. You're afraid of some guy picking the lock? It's not possible. It goes away. Why? Because it's security. I'm secure. It can't happen. Why fear? It's not even logical at that point. But you said fear is not logical. But at that point, I'm not afraid. Well, how is it? It's the same with economy. It's the same with all these different things, that the security of God, when we know, really no man can take us out of His hand, as the Bible says, we're protected by Him. the more we know that, that's going to cast out fear. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if we know how much he loves us, that's what's going to make the fear go. So it's not that we really deal with the fear directly, which we're going to talk about today specifically. Really, when we realize who we are in him, what he's done with the devil, what he's done with evil, what he's done on our behalf, that allows us to stand up and get rid of it. And there's things we can do, but bottom line is, it all stems from what he has done. It's not something that somehow we get done on our own, because that's superficial. I mean, there's things that we could do. There's things that man can do to try to, people try to just mute the fear. Get you just to basically, you're not really getting rid of the root. You're not really getting rid of it. You're replacing it, trying to basically distract yourself in some way so that you're not afraid. But you really haven't dealt again with the issue, because the issue is what this says. If we knew God, and you can't take God out of the picture, and that's what the world's problem is they try to take God out of the picture. Try to deal with something that has a root spiritually and deal with it as if it had nothing to do with God. Then never get the answer. Because it's coming, it's all spiritually based. The fact that we have a God, he loves us, we have an enemy who doesn't like us, and he's the author of the fear, he's trying to take us out, he's trying to distract us. If you don't deal with that, you're not going to deal with the issue. Maybe sort of, but not really. So let's go over to James 1:16. I want to talk about some things. When fear tries to come, we know what the root is. We know it's being established in him and his love for us. But when those things come, when fear tries to come, what can we do? James 1:16. This is again just talking about God and his goodness, but it says, "Do not be deceived, brethren," or "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Again, what is this talking about? Don't be deceived, brethren. Don't be deceived into thinking somehow God has anything to do or won't do something, has anything to do with anything negative in our lives. And don't be deceived into thinking somehow he won't take care of it or hasn't taken care of it. Don't be deceived, brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't fluctuate up and down. He's not in a bad mood one day, or he's not faithful or constant one day and then not faithful or constant another day. He is constant. Every good gift comes from him. Don't be deceived. Because the world tries to push out, well, God's not there, or he's not going to come through, or whatever. We're established, the more we become established, and no, don't be deceived into thinking somehow God isn't going to take care of this situation. No, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from him. He is good, period. He's good, and he has good things. And that again, you get that so ingrained in that in us, that he hasn't changed. How many times have you gone through certain things, and then you go through something, God comes through. But one of the favorite things the enemy will put in your head is you're facing another challenge and somehow God won't do it this time. What if he doesn't come through? What if he doesn't help you? What if something? What if? What if? What if? That's fear. That's driven by fear. It's questioning God. No, God, there's no variation. No shadow of turning. Every good gift. He's good. Period. Settled. He's good. He's good. He's got good plans. He will do the same thing. If he's done it before, if he's done it in the Word of God, he'll do it again. And fear has no place then. Fear gets pushed out. Let's turn over to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Okay, I do have that. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. But verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Again, people have twisted this to say, see, everything's from God and everything's going to work together and it's just all in God's plan. No, it's not what it's saying. It's saying no matter what gets thrown at you, no matter what you face in life, no matter what we go through, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So it doesn't matter what is the circumstance. It doesn't matter. God's going to turn it for good. God cannot be conquered. Again, if we know that, what does it matter what's coming? If you're afraid of something that's in your life turning out a certain way, we're not convinced that no matter what it is, God can triumph it. He can come over it. Have you? And I don't know superheroes that well. I'm sure there's a certain name, and if somebody really knew this stuff, they'd say, oh yeah, that's that. But I know, I've heard somewhere, I know there's certain superpowers that superheroes have, not the mainstream ones, but other ones. Their superpower is to take whatever power the other person has and flip it on them. That's their superpower. So no matter what they have, his superpower is to turn it back on you. Well, God is that way in a way. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at us. It doesn't matter what happens in our life. It doesn't matter what happened is in our family or what's happened in the job. God will twist it around and make it work, and he'll conquer it. He'll take the stick that you came at him with and beat you up with it on our behalf. You cannot be defeated. That, where is fear then? Oh, that's coming at me? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with that. God's going to turn that around. See, that's security again. If you know that it doesn't matter what you throw at me, it's coming back. And I'm going forward. See, again, security. See, that fear is the thing that, well, that might get through and destroy me. And it looks like it's going to destroy me. See, that's fear. That's not being established in the fact that God cannot be conquered and we're his children. And he loves us, and that he'll do anything for us. In fact, he sent his Son. Let's just go there right now because it's the next verse. What does it say? It's down on the scripture sheet, but next in verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, bottom line, if God is for us, who can be against us? What can come against us? Where does fear have a place when we know him? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And I don't think if we fully understood what's that saying, and the more we understood what it means, what Jesus actually did. It's like you can gloss over this in a religious manner. He who did not spare his only Son, how will he not do this? And it's almost like we gloss over it and we don't realize what that is really saying. He who did not spare his Son, and what Jesus actually took and what he bore on our behalf justly, because we deserved to be punished, but God put all that on Jesus so that his wrath could be satisfied and we could be justified. And it's saying here, if he did that, there should be no doubt that he'll do anything else, because he's done the ultimate. But it's because we don't really comprehend this, how much it really means. It's not just flipping, oh yeah, well yeah, Jesus was crucified, we know that, so. No, that's the whole point. If we gloss over that, we won't get where we really stand with him. What the circumstances, what he's really done, he's done it all. And the more we get a hold of that verse, of what the import is in that first phrase. If he did not spare his own son, then how shall he not freely give us everything? So where's fear? If he's already done this, then there is nothing left that he won't do. So there's no reason. There's no reason. Fear is gone. Fear has no place. Because he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's go down to 35. He shall separate us from the love of, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's saying it doesn't matter what's thrown, because if he didn't spare his own son, these things aren't going to do anything more than Jesus. To say any one of these things can punch through the armor is to say that Jesus' sacrifice was not enough. So the more we understand that sacrifice and the all-encompassing, what that says right there, how much God loves us, what he thinks of us, the more we have that down, there's nothing, nothing, nothing. You are in that impenetrable fortress. Now, stuff tries to look like it's punched through. And that's the thing. Circumstances look like the devil has done something. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And at that point, that's when stuff looks, because this is where the battle is, right here. Because everything we're saying is the truth, and we are secure in him, as long as we focus on that. But when we take our eyes off, and you know, life comes, and circumstances are screaming, telling you, this is going to happen. This is trying to scream at you, distracting you, saying to look at here. Now, when we look at this, which is troubling to our senses, troubling to our mind, it looks like the devil has won over here. That's when we give fear place. Because the fact of the matter is, it's all been done in him. If he didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from him. If we focus on that, then it makes this look, again, it puts it in that category. There's nothing that can penetrate it. But over here, we start looking at the circumstances, it dims this. It dims his sacrifice. It dims our security to where this becomes so big, and then we can start to fear. It starts to rise up, and it is where our focus is. It's not having anything to do with working anything up. You know, believing real hard, it's not that. It's just where we're looking. I'm telling you, anybody would be tempted to start fearing when they're looking over here. Anybody. It doesn't mean we have a problem. It means we're looking at the wrong thing. Do we ignore this? No. Do we ignore the thing that's coming? No. We deal with it. We say, this is greater. God's greater. He's greater. Yeah, but, yeah, I know that. I know this. I know that's coming in. Yeah, but God will take care of it because he has done all things in Christ. He loves me. I'm secure in that. Yeah, but don't you see? Yeah, but I understand this. I see. But I am not going to fear because of him. Because of him. Because of what he's done. Let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Verse 14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Again, it's talking about Jesus and what he did. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release him who through fear of death, release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That through the, in verse 14, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. See, through what Jesus did, the devil had us completely in bondage. And someone put it like this once, it's like you are encased in cement in a parking lot. There is nothing you can do to get free. You are buried in cement. And God himself came, and that's like the devil had us bound like that. God himself, through Jesus, jackhammered that parking lot. He broke it up. He broke it up. So now you can get out. You can move the stuff out. That's when it's saying that he himself likewise sharing the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He has jackhammered the parking lot. We just need to move stuff off and get up and go on. On the other hand, if we lie there, we'll still be in the parking lot. But the power of death has been broken. It's been broken. He's freed us. Through his sacrifice, he's freed us. We just have to get up, though, dust ourselves off, and walk out. But if we don't get up and walk out, it won't happen. And the devil is a liar. He knows the parking lot's been jackhammered. But what he likes to do is tell you you're still frozen in cement and you can't do anything. It's not true. It's a lie. Fear is one of the ways he comes. This is going to happen to you. Then I'm going to do this to you. And he won't say it like that. He's not going to say, I, the devil, are going to do that. He's saying, you're going down. He'll put it in first-person thoughts. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my job? I don't know what I'm going to do about this payment. I don't know how this is going to be affected. What am I going to do? That's how he comes at us. That's how the deceptions come. He's coming. What's he doing? Trying to tell you you're not free. The fact is, though, we've been translated from death unto life. And he tries to keep us there through fear, subject to bondage. Look in verse 15. Who released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But God has come. He's jackhammered that parking lot through Jesus Christ. And he's made us free. And we just have to get up and say, enough. I'm free, and walk out. And the devil lies to us. He comes back and tries to make us afraid by looking at the things that are mirages and smoke and mirrors and say, see, I have you where I want you. But he won't say it like that, like I said. He'll say, I'm going down. And if we look at what is happening, that's when we give place to him and fear. We have to look back at Jesus and say, no, he's already made a way. Nope, this can't separate me from the love of God. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Or actually, before we go there, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. We have a part to play, but it all goes back to Jesus. It's just like we have a part to getting saved. What is that? To believe on him? Otherwise, everybody be saved, right? Well, walking in this freedom is the same way. Is it have anything? Is it warfare? Is it like I'm going to take on the devil? Is it good? I'm going to yell and scream? No, it's nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. It's all what he did. Jesus bought it. He paid for it. He's the one that made it possible. But we do have a part to play. And the devil, as long as we'll believe the lie, that's what he wants. He'll make us stay there, even though we could walk out anytime we wanted to. 2 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. He can't just come in and devour you. He roars. He roars and tries to make you intimidated by his roar. What is that roar? Sometimes it's circumstances. It's thoughts screaming in your head. It's things that look like, and he's roaring, telling you, you better fear. This is coming. But it is hollow. But he doesn't want you to think that. But people will say, well, no, it's very real. Yeah, it's real. We don't deny circumstances, but Jesus has made the way out of them. And fear is completely toothless when we look about back at the antidote, which is his love and what he's done. But the devil knows this. See, these things are all received by faith, which is simply believing. When we believe what he's done, we can take it and have it and walk in it. And the devil knows this. So what does he try to do? Get you to fear, which was not belief. If you believe, you're fearing, you're not believing that God is going to take care of you. You're not secure. It'd be like you in the middle of the fortress still thinking something bad's going to happen to you. The difference is something, circumstances happen, and so it looks like you're not protected. No, but we are. He's the god of this world, the devil, and he tries to do things and try to get you to give up. But like we read in Romans, nothing can separate us from that love. And nothing can keep God down. So the devil is going to try to come and seek who he may devour. He's going to try to basically intimidate us into fear. But he can't do it if we'll look at God. So what does it say in verse 9? Resist him. It says, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him. That's our part. In our own strength, go to some war, go to some shouting at the devil, going and, you know, warring after him and just saying, I'm in spiritual warfare, I'm going to take the devil. No, we can't do anything in and of ourselves. We just take up what Jesus has done. In the name of Jesus, or resisting him, in the name of Jesus means in everything he has done. We have authority in him. We've been vested with authority in him. He has made us free, but we stand up, and the Bible tells us to resist the devil. Fear is of the devil. If we just say, oh, I don't know, I'm just so scared, we're not resisting fear, we're opening the door and say, come on in, I'm scared. I can't do anything about this. No, it says to resist that. Resist it. Come here, Franklin. If you're coming at me, and I just say, oh, fear, oh, you know, I'm just getting booted. That's not resisting, but you coming at me, and I say, no, that's resisting. That's what the devil comes in. No, no, get out. You don't have any place here, right? That's what we do. No, I'm going to resist the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. When he comes in and you know it's him, if you know it's fear, you know that's from the devil. And we'll have the tendency, and Christians will say, I just don't know what to do. The devil's on. If you know it's the devil, you know what to do. He has no power. Then we say, no, devil, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. Fear, I resist you. If fear is from Satan, which it is, verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. Believe what God has done through Jesus. Believe that you're in the family. Believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Push him back. He's going to push at you and hope you don't push. Just put, you know, just keep getting pushed until it's like, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, oh, the devil's... No. We stand up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you are not going to do that. In my strength, no. But because of what Jesus has done to me or for me, I'm going to resist him in his strength. That has nothing to do with you working it up, you shouting, you feeling anything. Nothing to do with your feeling. You can feel like, you can completely feel like nothing is going on. Has nothing to do with it. Because God has granted in Jesus He's made us free. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, if you're lying in the parking lot, if you don't feel like you can move the cement off you, I mean, you just feel like, no, I just don't really feel like doing it. I just don't know if I can. You can do it. I mean, it's like in small bits, not huge things. It's broken up to where you can just dust yourself off and move. Now, if you sit there and say, well, I really don't feel like it, does that change the fact that you could do it? No. You just have to do it. We just have to do it. Not that, again, it's not like, well, you just have to do something. No, but we do have to do something. It's not in the doing. It's just in using what He's already given us. Not like we have to do it. You have to really resist Him. No, but we have to resist Him. If I don't care how, you know, how easy it is to push back, if I don't resist, I'm going to get moved. So I still have to resist, just like getting saved is just calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not hard, but you still have to do it. People do to get in order to be born again. Well, it's the same thing. We push back at Him. He's got to go. He has to go. The 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 6 and 7. Did I put 6 on there? No, but I'll read it. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given me that. God has not given me that. He's not given me a spirit of fear. Fear is a spiritual force. He's not given me a spirit or an attitude. Fear tries to come at you, but we say, no, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind, and we resist the devil. No, I'm not going to fear. Yeah, but all this stuff, yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to let fear grip me because of Jesus. And we just go to looking at what He has done. And I'm telling you, that's the secret to almost everything. Anything in life is that it's what you're looking at. Your faith will follow what you're looking at. Period. If you look at Him, faith falls. It's not that we have to work up faith. Faith is not an act of the will. It's what we look at. If we look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done, everything else pales. Otherwise, it's not complete. Otherwise, He really hasn't done everything the Bible says He has. But when we look at Him, everything else fades. No. Yes, there's this in my life, but Jesus has done this. And so I resist this. And fear will go. Fear has to go. Fear is subject to us. Let's turn over to James. Go back to James 4. James 4, verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is the author of fear. He is the author of it. He will come at you like a roaring lion, trying to intimidate you into fearing. What does the Bible say? Resist him, like it said over in that verse in 1 Peter. Resist him. Therefore, submit to God. Go, you know, if you're where God has you, submit to God, agree with God, say, God, I don't know necessarily everything that's going on in this situation, but I'm submitting to you. I can't see it, but I'm submitting to you. I'm going to agree with you regardless of what I see, and I'm going to resist the devil. And he will. The Bible doesn't say if. It doesn't say anything to do about how loud you say it. It doesn't say anything to do about what you feel like. It doesn't say anything like that. It says resist the devil and he will. Definite. He will. Flee. Run. Because he's a coward. And he will roar and he'll scream at you and tell you everything he's going to do. But he has been defeated. He has been stripped. But he doesn't want us to know that. So he'll yell and try to intimidate you until you drop your faith. until you say, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to get, I guess it's just not for me, I guess this is going to happen, and submit. You're not resisting anymore. He's pushing you. He didn't say anything. But if we resist him, no, he will what? He'll flee. He has to. The Word of God says it. He's subject to the name of Jesus. He knows what's happened. And if you stand up and use the authority that we've been given, just stand up as a child of God and say, no, Jesus has freed me from that. He's freed me. I'm getting up and walking out. No. Yeah, but no. He's got to flee. He will flee. He'll run out the door. Fleeing. As in terror. He is scared of that. He doesn't want to deal with you. You know, there's a limited number of demons. You think they're generated all the time? I mean, this isn't per se in the Bible. I'm just asking to think. Are there being demons created all the time? There's a lot more Christians there are on the face of the earth now than when, you know, Jesus' time. There weren't any Christians till Jesus died, obviously, but there's people that believe God. But the devil's got his forces. And unless demons are generated everywhere, they got a lot more on their hands to deal with. He does not want to deal with somebody that's going to resist him, or no more than a bully does. If you're going to resist a bully, he'll go pick on somebody else that isn't going to trouble him a lot of the time. But the devil is like that because the Bible says he'll flee. He's scared. He don't want to mess with us if we're going to. He knows he's defeated. He's a liar, though. He tries to just deceive us into being intimidated. Let's go. We'll finish up in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1, Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, right there. That's the whole sermon in a sentence. Who are you focusing on? The Lord. He's my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who am I going to fear? Where am I going to look? At my circumstances? No. And he goes on to talk about his circumstances. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See where he's got it. He's focusing on God. If God is this, who? What should I be afraid of? Who should I be afraid of? And what? Because of him. And we have a greater covenant than David had. Jesus had not been crucified when this was written. Yet he could say this in the old covenant. How much more? See, these people were still under the power of the devil. Only as much as they obeyed the law and obeyed and acted righteously to that degree, they saw good in their life. But the devil was the god of the world at this time. So they had to obey in order to get anything. God has come in through Jesus and stripped the devil of everything. So we're not under his control anymore. Now because of what Jesus did, we can walk and get good. Not that we want to mess with sin. Not that we want to deal with the circumstances. But regardless of our perfect performance, we still have the blessings that Jesus has gotten for us. And so he's saying this under the old covenant even, but he's saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And now he talks about his circumstances. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. You see what he is doing. He starts out saying, God is my light and salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he says this, and then he says, yeah, people are trying to kill me. Yet, in spite of that, I will not be afraid because of him. Because of him. Because of him. Hallelujah. David could do that in the old covenant. It wasn't written, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It wasn't written, the devil goes about like a roaring lion. No, we have Jesus. We look at Him and what He's done. The devil has to flee. Fear has to flee. And again, it all comes back to what He has done. The more we're secure in that, see, we're secure in that, so then fear's there. We say, devil, go. And we're secure in that. Perfect love casts that fear out, makes it go. Fear has no place in our life. Thank God.